Welcome to Navigation Church. So thrilled that y'all are here. Y'all, like, I'm from the South. And for those of you watching online, I promise you this, you just missed a fantastic time of worship. It is proof positive that God doesn't give out talent equally across the board. Because we had a bunch of five talent individuals up here, and now I have to preach. I'm going to give myself a one at this point, but here's what I'm excited about. I believe 20 years from now, everyone on this stage will be an 11 talent servant. And so I'm just excited to see what God's going to be doing in every one of their lives. So if you're watching us online, glad that you're tuning in. I actually know some of you reached out due to illness. You're not here today. Thank you. We appreciate that. But I'm glad that you're tuning in regardless. And for those of you even in other states, we're continuing our 40-day conversation out of actually our prayer journal. Before we get to that, I have a huge announcement, big announcement, exciting announcement that everyone has to know about. First of all, how many came in today and had a blue card sitting on their chair? Possibly right now you're doing a left lean in order to get it. Go ahead and get it out. That's all right. I mean, it's gonna be awkward, but once you have this in your hand, here's why. I need everybody in here to take one card, not two, and I dare you to take three. I mean, just one card is all you're allowed to take. And here's why. I bet there's someone in your life that you can run into this next week that you think I would love for them to come experience the greatest church on this side of the river. Come on. And Easter's the easiest time to invite someone to church. And here's something to take special note of. On the back, you will see that we are going to have three services on that Easter morning. So if you're not aware of this, you're either going to show up really early or really late. But I'd love you to be really on time. 8:45, 10:05, and 11:25. And you probably want to plan on coming early to any one of the services you come to, because the day before, this is a flyer you can get at any one of the stations in the back. This kind of lets you know about our Easter schedule coming up. Because number one, we are going to need 150 volunteers this year, and I'll tell you why in just a second, for our Easter outreach. Then we're going to have a Good Friday service at 7 p.m. right here. It's going to be, I promise you, you're going to walk out in just stunned silence, loving what your Savior has done for you. I can't wait for it. And then the other big thing, our Easter outreach. Normally, we do a measly 30,000 eggs, maybe as many as 40,000 in Collinsville. We give out some eggs. We throw some hot dogs. Kids jump on a bounce house. No one's ever been hurt. Thank you, Jesus. And so, like, it's big and it's fun. But this year, we're not going to do one party in one place for one town. We're going to do two parties, one in Collinsville, one in Granite City, for two cities, for two at the exact same time on the same date. So not one party, but two party, which makes you three times as excited as you've ever been before. Yeah. So we're expecting four times the amount of people to show up. And most of those numbers, 5% of those numbers probably aren't true, but anyone, okay, I'll move on from that. But I promise you now, the Easter outreach is going to be a blast. You want to be a part of it. So, like, for my family, I'm going to be working. My wife's got the four kids. We're just going to divide and conquer this thing. But I want to invite you. Navigation Church, we are finding out that we are not a Collinsville church. We're a church located in Collinsville. But we are having influence in so many cities around us that we're going to continue to go. And honestly, if they have a desire for God, then we have a desire to meet them there. So I just want to invite you, make sure to pick up your Easter schedule so you know what's going on. And then Pastor Aaron, at the end of service, will remind you, we need you to go ahead and get signed up now, either A, for baptisms, or B, to help volunteer for this up-and-coming Easter outreach. It's an exciting time if you've never been a part of it. Okay, here's we go. We are going to be on page 94. Of your book. If you do not have a book, we do have handouts at our Connecting Center. If you forgot your book at home, don't forget that the notes are actually in the back and you can fill them in somewhere on page 208 on, so you can always fill it in. And for those of you that started this with us, congratulations, you are more than halfway through a 40-day journey in prayer, and the testimonies that we're receiving are absolutely phenomenal. So keep them coming. The first thing I want to say is I want to tell you a little bit about my history. Growing up, at 15 years old, I had a friend of mine who, oddly enough, is now my attorney. He came to me and he said, hey, there's a business from Missouri that wants to start a branch over here in Illinois. They're a remodeling company, and I need to find canvassers. How many have ever had someone knock on your door right in the middle of dinner trying to sell you something? That was me. You're so welcome. But here's the difference. I was 15 years old at the time. Look at this apple pie American baby face. Like, no one was turning me around away. And there's no way you would think I would lie to you, because I would just sit there and go, "Hello, ma'am." Yeah, I turned British all of a sudden. It was fantastic. They're more believable. I don't know why, but it's like, "Good day, sir." "Is this crumpets and tea I'm smelling?" I need to get off the British thing, because I'll just keep going down it. So, like, and I would try to get leads for a remodeling company. And just so you know, at 15 years old, when the owner of the company, a gentleman by the name of Steve, I still remember his first and last name, when he found out that he had hired a 15-year-old, he immediately told the supervisor over here to fire me. "There's no way I'm having a 15-year-old on staff." And they go, "Well, do you want to know how many leads he's pulling in?" And once you know, I remember me being number one. But if you would ask other people at that time, I was probably in the top three. But I was getting leads all the time. Because the crazy thing is, I was given by God a gift to talk. Okay, as long as none of you booed. That was an easy time for you to do that. But so what I did, I just went door to door, got leads. And I actually had such a good reputation with the owners that there came basketball season and I quit working in order to be able to play, train, do basketball, go to games and stuff like that. And there was one night during a basketball game, I look over the bleachers. Here's how I remember the game. We were winning primarily because of me. Again, I may be wrong. I hate to brag about myself, but it is so easy. So, like, we're doing a series on humility months from now. So God's going to do a lot of work before now and then. So playing basketball, I look over and the owner of the company is sitting on the bleachers. I'm like, I wonder why he's here. And then at the end of the game, he came up and he's like, "Man, you're really good." And blah, blah, blah. He's a salesman, so none of that was true. And he goes, "Here's what I like." He goes, "Any chance when you get done with basketball practice, a game or anything, even if you can get to the office for an hour to do phone soliciting, like, I need you back, you're a lead generating machine, can you still come work?" So I'm like, "Absolutely." So I go back and I remember going down into this phone bank. And by the way, it's not a phone bank. It's an office on Main Street in Collinsville that when you open the door, you go down the scariest looking hallway to this dungeon. And I can tell you this, that if someone sprays mace in the back room, even if you're in the front room, eventually you get hit by mace. And I know this for a fact, okay? So that's a story for another time, but it's a good one. So that has nothing to do with today's sermon, but I promise you, there's like an end in sight. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. So I go down there, I sit down, and they go, "Hey, here's the script when you make the phone call." And I go, "Okay," so everyone's down there, and they go, "Hello, are you?" And by the way, our phone list was something called the Yellow Pages. Anybody remember what those are? Like, kids, you're not going to get it. But there used to be a book that you actually put all the phone numbers in and not, "Hey, Siri, call." Okay? So they were down there. They would get Mr. Johnson, and all of a sudden, "Hi, my name is David. I'm from the remodeling company Midtown Home Improvement. We are in your neighborhood," which, by the way, we were in every neighborhood. It didn't matter. We were always in your neighborhood. And they would, like, read this script. And I just remember, like, looking at it going, "Why aren't you just talking to the people?" And so everybody down there is reading their script. I'd get on the phone, and the craziest thing is I'd be like, "Hi, my name's David. We're out in your neighborhood right now. You're Mr. Johnson, right? Great to hear." And I would just have conversations with them, and I realized a script will only get you so far, but until you engage someone in a conversation, you'll never make a connection. And so here's why I wanted to open that today. We're doing the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to teach you a script. But a script will only get you so far. This script is the outline, and for you to engage in a conversation with your Heavenly Father. And here's the greatest thing, because Jesus taught us this way, you will always know what to say and when to say it. And so as we get into this, memorize the words, which, by the way, I would say if you're going to memorize the Lord's Prayer, you should actually get the King James Version. I know this sounds weird. I'm going old school on you. The only reason we're using the version we are is because it's in our book, and we need to stay on that. I actually think the King James Version is the easiest one to recite because of the poetry in which that whole Bible was originally written in. And oddly enough, even though I read NIV now all the time primarily, anytime I quote the Bible, I still quote King James because that's what I grew up memorizing. So just FYI for anyone who cares. Here's what we're going to do. Step number six. We covered the first five steps. We'll review everything in a little bit. Step number six on page 94 of your book, first thing you need to do is I admit, here's your fill in the blank, my faults. The prayer of cleansing. Forgive us our sins. Do you remember saying that just a minute ago? Forgive us our sins. Some translations say, forgive us our trespass. Other translations say, forgive us our debt. In this translation, it's forgive us our sins. Because here's what we know. God promises that if you will confess your sins to him, he will forgive you instantly, freely, completely, and permanently. And so it's real simple. If you go, what do you mean, forgive me of my sins? And by the way, you may need to write this down if you need a prayer to pray. And here's the prayer. God, show me my faults. It doesn't sound spectacular. It doesn't sound fancy. But if you say to the Holy Spirit, show me where I'm not right with you, you're going to hear a file drawer open up with an amazing list of where we fall short. But he doesn't dump everything on you at once. He goes, here's the one thing. Here's your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have to be able to do this. So here's your prayer challenge for this week. I know it's coming early in the sermon. Prayer coach will remind you at the end of service. But here's your prayer challenge this week. When you go to pray to God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, God, what do you want me to pray for today? And here's what we're actually doing. Here's another way you could say it. Holy Spirit that is present with me, I need you to speak to me. And I know you're sitting there going, God can't talk to me. I'm not a pastor. Not true. You won't find it in the Bible. You're going to say, wait a second, I've never been trained on how to hear from God. Good. If you've heard from mom and dad all your life, if you can hear from me now, you can hear from God. Because here's what happens. When God speaks, something amazing happens. When we talk in a linear fashion. I'm processing you through some notes today. When God talks to you, you know the whole thing immediately. And right then you can go, okay, God, that wasn't my thought. That's your knowing. So this week's prayer challenge, and by the way, in the prayer challenge, doesn't have to consume every inch of your prayer time. So for me, every single day, I'm praying for a different group of people. I'm clearly asking God to do something for them. Every day I sit around with my family and I pray, but I'm saying when you get into your prayer journal, start it by saying this, God, what do you want me to talk about today? And see if the Holy Spirit doesn't just, can I say it this way, whisper something to your soul. And then you'll find yourself getting so meaningful into that. So if we confess our sins, this is out of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to God, he can, what's that word there? Always. If you have your pen, that's a great word to circle right there. Always be trusted to forgive us and take away our sins. Here is a key indicator that you are struggling with sins that the Holy Spirit is not wanting you to struggle with. Guilty. You cannot find me a scripture in the Bible where God says, I want you to feel guilty. I want you to just feel bad about yourself. I want you to feel like a loser. I want you to feel like the tail and not the head, below and not above. You can't find that. Now, here's what you can find. There's times that we want to feel convicted of our actions. Funny story last night. So my boy, for some reason, we have to be on a soccer field when it's 40-degree weather with rain coming diagonally. I mean, it's just, I actually was parked where I could see the field. And the thought was, does he need to see me out there? Like it was. Like, and then my other thought was, I can keep the car warm for him 70 minutes from now. Like, I'm a giver like that. I'm willing to sacrifice for my kid. So, but I'm out there, and at one point I got some text messages, and I went to text back, and I went, those can wait, because my thumbs weren't working. It was miserable. Again, has nothing to do with the sermon. So I'm out at a soccer field. We're on our way home. My wife ended up having a different engagement last night, so I asked my boy, I go, where do we need to eat? And of course, he picked the greatest place, White Castle. White Castle. If anyone cares, 15 burgers with cheese fries on the sides, and I'm cheap enough, when I got home, I made the burgers, cheeseburgers, but I ain't paying 28 cents a slice down there. Are you kidding me? You know what you can get at Aldi for that? So, yeah, I'm cheap. Leave me alone. But we had cheeseburgers nonetheless. So we're in line going through there, and out of nowhere, my boy, by the way, all that's set up for this point. Out of nowhere, Judah says to me, he goes, hey, Dad, have you told me about every person who's ever broken into the church or the building next door? I go, I don't know. Are you wanting to break in somewhere? I go, I got the fob. I can let you in, right? Like, And he goes, well, why did the kids, because for those who don't know, about 2 years ago, I think it was, the kids were actually in the building next door. And it was a great marketing. We'd have first-time guests come to the church, and they would go across the street, no matter, like, literally a busy highway, right? Across the street, up a flight of stairs, down a 100-foot hallway that lights weren't working, and there were, like, sounds like, ooh, going on. And then they made a right-hand turn to go down another hallway to this dingy, nasty place. And Judah goes, why'd you move the kids next door? And I go, well, here's the reasons. And I started just listing them off. And he goes, well, was it because the building got broken one time? And I go, no. I said, no. And he said, if I broke into a building, would you be mad at me? I'm like, God, this is Cammie's kid. Like I did. I married a bad seed. So, and for those watching online, because I know you are, enjoy that one. So I actually said to him without blinking, I go, buddy, if you broke into a building, because I have some relationships with a few officers in town, I said, I would actually ask them to take you to prison and lock you in a cell for a given period of time. Yeah, thank you. I'm questioning my fatherhood right now. I appreciate that. No. And he goes, really? I go, I would want you to feel the full weight of your transgression. I would want you to be so afraid of the repercussions of your actions that you'd never go back there again. And I actually thought about that this morning as I was reviewing my notes of, I don't want my son to feel guilty. I want him to be convinced that this conviction that he's under is not worth returning to. So when you ask God, is there something in my life that needs to be changed? And you feel that sense of, oh God, and here's, are you ready for this? I grieve you when I do this. Oh, that's the things we have to get adjusted right there. So when you pray, God, I'm going to admit my faults to you. But here's the beautiful thing. Here's the results of the confession. For those with the study notes, you don't have this scripture completely written out, but you do have the reference of Psalms 32, 1 through 5. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when their sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared the record. So for those who did nothing, what is the results of that? But then here's what David said, his personal testimony was. There was a time when I would not admit that I was a sinner, that a sinner I was. But my dishonesty made me miserable, and I filled my days with frustration all day and night. Your hand was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. Guess what? You feel free to try to hide them. You can't. He can walk through your garden any day of the week and go, hey, where are you? He knows what tree you're behind with what fig leaves you have on. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. Ready for this? And my guilt was gone. You want to know that when you've been forgiven by God, guilt is gone, but the residue of conviction is still on you. It's great. So here we go. Step number this. So this is going to be your condition, though, when it comes to praying your prayer of cleansing. Here's your condition. Number one, or steps number seven, I release those who have hurt me. The prayer of release, as we forgive those who have sinned against us, who has trespassed against us, who has debt against us. So I have to be honest with you. This next section, I have tried to figure out how to do it a different way. But the notes are so good, I'm going to read a lot of this next section. But here's what I want to say this before that. The Sunday following Easter, we're going to start a brand new conversation here. How many have ever played the game Sorry? And actually, do you know on the board game, it actually says the game of sweet revenge. That's like, oh man, excited. I just found that out because I'm studying on it. So we are going to have a 3-week conversation on the art of how to say you're sorry. Be sorry and stay sorry. And in this conversation, and I'm not trying to overhype it, I actually told my wife, I think this will be the greatest single conversation for this entire year. That's how excited I am. And I'm not trying to get you overpumped because there's a good chance the next one will also be that. But for right now, because this is what I'm focused on, I just can't believe the revelation there is in the words sorry. And everything that goes along with it. So when it comes to releasing those who sinned against you, if you don't know how to naturally do this, which by the way, we don't, we're going to have a wonderful conversation in just a couple weeks on how to do that. But for right now, you need to know this. Forgiveness isn't about fairness. Forgiveness is about grace. What they did to you was wrong, period. And if you wait, ready for this? If you wait for them to deserve it, your faith has no meaning. You know what? Feel free to write that one down, because I'm going to see if I can remember. Here we go. Sometimes when I say stuff, I don't. Here we go. If you wait to forgive someone when they've earned forgiveness, your faith is meaningless, because you do not deserve forgiveness in your life, but Christ died for you while you were still a sinner. When we were the farthest from him, he drew nearest to us. And he said, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve my love. You don't deserve my presence. You don't deserve my grace. You don't deserve my mercy. But because of who I am, I can extend that. So one of the things you're going to hear coming up, you're never more godlike than when you're truly releasing forgiveness to people who do not deserve it. And so you have to do this. The first key to learning how to forgive others is to remember how much that we've been forgiven. Ephesians 4, verses 32. Be kind and tenderhearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I went amplified on you right at the very end. You will never have to forgive anyone more than God had already forgiven you. Again, I'm just going to read these phrases out loud. I think this is wonderful the way that it's laid out here. So ready for this? If you are willing, Matthew 6, if you forgive those who have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But this is a big but right here. You got to hear this. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'm thinking, and I could be way off here. I mean, I'm no theologian, but I'm thinking God's pretty serious about this forgiveness thing. And here's what's crazy. It's, if we forgive them, does it benefit them or does it benefit us? Like I understand that there's times in our life that God has us do things for the benefit of those around us, but on this one, he drives it home to the point of, listen, it's not if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive them. That seems to be a them thing. But if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. This is now a me thing. So God, you're so interested in me being cleansed, me being whole, me being healthy, that you're putting my forgiveness conditional upon me forgiving someone else, because I have a feeling that unforgiveness in our heart is nothing more than a cancer to the soul. So, because when you hurt, and again, this is just right out of the book, it's written so well. When you hurt, you have one of two options. You can either relive it or release it. Reliving the hurt only perpetuates the pain, but releasing the hurt is your pathway to inner peace. Because let's be honest, some of your greatest fights happened after the original fight when you replayed it in your head. But there's something when you can look back at a moment and you're not dragged back to the instant. So love keeps no record of wrong. Could you imagine, just think about this practically, could you imagine if I lived my marriage keeping every record of what was wrong? I'm just going to, by the way, for those not married, I'll give you a little hint. Not a good idea. Just going to throw that out there. For those of you who are married that do this, I'm about to get you in trouble. So every time you get in a fight, if you remind them of 20 things in the past, you are currently keeping a record of what is wrong, and it is unbiblical. Because we need to learn how to release in order to move to our future. If not, you're condemned to your past by reliving it. So step number 8 now, this is a big step here, because the first thing you're going to do is, God, teach me where I'm wrong. Number 2, help me not to hold those who have done wrong against me in my heart. I'm cleaning this out. But then now the next step, ask God to guard your heart. The prayer of protection. Lead me not into temptation. Now, or here, can we say it this way? Now that you've learned to forgive someone, God, teach me how not to go back there. Now that I've got past a sin, got past an issue, help me not to relive this in my life like a depreciating experience or belief system that will only continually to replay itself with the same destructive behaviors. So temptation is not always, oh, this is so fun. I look forward to doing this part. This is so fun because this hit me this week. Ready? Temptation is not always about doing what's wrong, doing the wrong thing. Temptation can also be about not doing the right thing. Okay, so there's times where you have the sin of commission, like we decide to do that with it, but then there's also the sin of omission. And a few of these things hit me. Think about this. When you're tempted to do what's easy, right? Because this past week, it was really easy just to kiss the kids to bed, put them to sleep, versus wrangling everybody up, get them up around the kitchen table, pull out this book, read a couple of these scriptures. Like, I'm going, they're not going to convince. I'm convinced neither height nor death, angels nor demons. There's demons in the world. No, hang on, that's not what it's saying, but God loves you really big. Then why do you talk about demons? Okay, like, it would have been easier just not to read that scripture, right? But I couldn't, because I would, that would be, ready for this? That would be what's best for me. And so now I'm moving to the realm of selfishness. So the omission of doing what's important, or putting off to what's, to doing what you can do today and putting off tomorrow, the scripture actually speaks against that. It says, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Ready for this? Ignoring those in needs. So there's so many things we need to guard our heart against, not just these big sin issues that we struggle with, but literally the things that we should be doing too. So whatever you do, work with it in all your heart, working with the Lord, not for men. Why? It is the Lord Christ that we're serving, Colossians 3, 23 through 24. So now, God, now we're not doing those things. I'm going to, step number 9, page 96, I'm going to depend on God's power. The prayer of deliverance. Deliver us from evil is the scripture. So for those of you who do not feel that you're qualified to pray, those of you that are intimidated to pray, I need you to grab a pen right now. And by the way, you can write this on your hand. You can write this on a piece of paper. You can write, I'm going to give you a prayer that you can pray specifically for this one. Okay? Because there's times we need God's power in our life. And here's your prayer. Ready? Help. H-E-L-P. And that stands for help. See, we think there's a word minimum that we have to give to God in order to explain to him the situation, for him to understand the way we feel. And then here's my favorite thing, and I do this too. We give him options how he can fix it. Because I'm telling you, God, I'm not going to play the lottery, but I'd pick a ticket up off the street. That's the winner. But then I'd have the church turn it in so we get all the money tax-free. Oh, I've thought through this, and I've told God how he can bless the church and then me and the pastor and our retirement. Like, I've helped him all the ways. But then there's sometimes that I just need to say this to him, help. And we think that isn't profound, but do you know when we can come to the end of who we are, we find the beginning of who he is. And so if you need help right here to depend on God, you just need to use the word help. It's as simple as that. This week's prayer challenge, you remember, it's just simply as, what do you want me to pray for today? We don't come in with these motives and these plans. It's relying on the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So here you go. Ready for this? We're going to just run through the whole pattern. Step number one, our Father. It's a prayer of connection. Who art in heaven, God, hallowed be thy name. We're going to worship you. It's a prayer of refocusing on what we should be focused on. Your kingdom come, because I'm going to cooperate with what you're doing here on earth. It's a prayer of cooperation on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because God, I'm going to surrender my ways to your ways. So God, at this point, it's a prayer of surrender. And then give me this day, the prayer of dependence. Give me this day my daily bread. Why? Because God, I'm going to need to start learning how to forgive others, and this daily bread might help me get to it. So a prayer of cleansing, to then I'm going to release them, a prayer of forgiveness. And then God, keep me from going back to where I was, a prayer of protection. Then deliver me from evil, prayer of deliverance, to our final prayer, a prayer of ultimate victory. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer ends and where it begins, with giving God glory. That's a great line to underline right there in your green. Jesus teaches us from the ultimate aim of our prayer is that God will be glorified no matter what the outcome is. You know, one of the things I noticed as I was just once again studying the Lord's Prayer and kind of going through this process, there's never a time in here where Jesus goes, at this point, tell God everything you need. Like, that one line isn't in the Lord's Prayer. But yet, when we're worshiping God on the front side, we're worshiping God on the back side, and throughout it, we're cleansing us, we're healing us, we're, you know, also asking God, how do we work with you in this thing? You know, there's times in our life when we put God in the place that he's supposed to, issues that are around us also get put in the place they need to be. Somehow when we exalt him high, and by the way, this is, if ever there's a big problem in your life you can't get past, it's probably because you have a tiny God. But the moment you make your God big, the issue you can't get past will probably become tiny. It's like on this teeter-totter of life. And so throughout all this, one thing I want you to remember, the scripture also clearly said to us, you have not because you ask not. So this is a time of worshiping. This is a time of connecting with your Father. This isn't every time you sit down, this is the pattern you have to do. But I will tell you this, the one habit that you should start right away is you start your prayer time with worshiping God for who he is. And then no matter if it's asking about a family, it's asking him what he wants you to talk about today, if it's asking about an issue in your life, whatever it might be, then you end your time with God no matter what. I'm going to praise you. No matter what happens in this situation, you're worthy of my worship. No matter what's this outcome of this marriage or divorce, this sickness or death, no matter what that outcome is, God, it doesn't change who you are. So the final thing that will always be on my lips is praise and worship to you. Right? Because the purpose of prayer, this is, we all have to just know this. The purpose of prayer is not to conform God to my way of seeing things. The purpose of prayer is to conform me to the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. And so if you have your book right now, can you do me a favor? Did I throw the Lord's Prayer on the back of the PowerPoint? If not, can you get ready to throw that up there? If you have your book, can we all just say this out loud today? And as you're saying it, we're just going to have a nice, easy rhythm to it. Because as we're saying this, we're going to be on page 96. See if the revelation of each phrase doesn't simply come to mind as you're saying it. So let's say this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. Man, sorry. Okay, so here's what, just so you know, I got to stop us there. So whenever I read this, I can't do plural. Give us this daily bread. I'm not praying for all of us. I'm praying for me. So when I do this, I usually say it this way, give me my daily bread. Does that make sense? Because no offense, like, feel free to have your daily bread, but I'm not eating yours. I mean mine. And usually, tell me if this isn't true, usually someone else's daily bread looks a whole lot better than the stuff you were served up. Right? Because I got on Facebook this morning, and everyone was healthy. Everyone was happy. Everyone got to be at a Cardinals game. That was baseball, by the way. Like, congratulations. Like, they keep losing. So, like, congratulations. Your bracket, you're winning it at the office poll for NCAA. And congratulations, you put another food thing on Facebook where it's a tenderloin wrapped in bacon that's been smoked for 12 hours. And I don't have a smoker, so I just have to lick the screen of the picture you put up. So your tenderloin bacon wrap goodness from that might be manna. That could be what the Egyptian or the Israelites ate, except it was meat and that was pheasant. So no, it wasn't that. So like, if I wait to praise God for yours, so just so you know, we're going to go back to read it the way it is because we're not going to try to change it. But I just had that thought. So here we go. We're going to start from the beginning. My Father, see how easy it is to make it personal. Because guys, this is not an outline for you to do, but it's a format to create a relationship for whom you're doing it with. So our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now and forever. That apparently is different than what's on your page 96. Sorry about that. And so here's what I like to say. It's actually easy for me to worship at the beginning and end of every prayer time. And the reason why is for those who've been forgiven much. And since I know me, I know how much God has forgiven me. And to be honest with you, if I was God, I would have stopped forgiving me a long time ago. Because I spectacular, in amazing ways, mess up in new and creative ways all the time. And God still comes back and goes, I want you to be my son. And he'll look at you and say, I want you to be my daughter. And so when it comes to praising God, it's so easy to thank God for my salvation. If we have nothing else to be thankful for our salvation. And if you go, well, I've been saved for a long period of time. What else is he still saving you from today? Is he saving you from guilt, anxiety, fear, worry, depression? Is he saving you from a family situation, debt in your life? Where is he currently saving you from still? And it'll be an easy time to worship. And one of the main reasons I wanted to bring that example up is because here at Navigation Church, we believe the one thing that God's doing all the time now still is still saving people's lives. And physically, absolutely. Spiritually, without a doubt. So if you don't know what I mean by that, here's a 2-minute summary. We are here because of a man named Jesus Christ. That 2,000 years ago, this is historically documented, a gentleman by the name of Lee Strobel actually wrote an entire book called The Case for Christ and gave all the physical evidence that why we can believe that a man named Jesus walked the town of Nazareth, and there was a time that he was actually brutally killed by Roman soldiers on one of their crosses. He was beat with a whip. He had a crown of thorns shoved over his head. People ripped his beard out. They punched on him. They spit on him. They cursed him. And he never lifted a finger to save himself. Although, and here's the biggest key that I'd want everyone to know, he could have at any time because he was innocent. And, oh, by the way, he's also God. He was a God-man here on earth. But no man could save themselves. We were all guilty. And we were under a death conviction. But Jesus, God, stepped out of heaven and said this, that I do not want you to die. I want you to have life. I don't want you to spend eternity away from me, but I want you to spend now and to eternity with me. So Jesus freely gave himself to die on a cross for our sins. And if you don't know what sin is, let me say it a different way. The thing you're always feeling guilty about. The darkness that's inside of you. That you regret, that you look back and you have remorse and regret about. He wants to scrub that clean. And so at Navigation Church, we always give an opportunity that if you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm ready for a new life. I'm ready for something different. I mean this, you don't have to understand this with your head because the first thing that God does is transform our heart. There's times in your life that you just know that you know. You can't explain it, you couldn't debate it, but something in your heart, you just know that you know. Today, if your heart is beating, your mind is racing, is the day that you know that Jesus wants to become the Savior of your life. So as I make this simple invitation of would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And right now, you kind of got a cold chill over your body because you went, in front of everyone, I have to raise my hand. Well, Navigation Church, could we honor those who may be a guest with us today by closing our eyes, bowing our heads, and really separate yourself from those around you so that if there's someone here today ready to make a life-changing decision by allowing God to become the Savior of their world, if you're here today and you're ready to make that decision with eyes closed and head bowed, could I just get you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can identify that you've made that decision today? Praise God. If you're watching us online, the same, I see that hand over here. Praise God. If you're watching us online today, the same question is going to come out to you as it is for everyone here. And I know it may feel awkward. No matter where you are right now, could I invite you to just raise your hand up? And it doesn't have to be high, loud, and proud. It could be simple, but it'll be a life-changing moment for you always to remember today was the day you gave your heart to Jesus. I'm also going to invite you to repeat this prayer with me as well as everybody in here. So if you're within earshot of me right now, could you say this, Dear Jesus, today's the day that I give my life to you. I'm tired of the guilt. I want to be free. Become Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And from this day forward, I will praise you. Jesus, I'm so grateful for the pattern